Welcome to Tech Wrap.
Hello.
It's another week, and this time we're making up episode four.
Week four, yeah. Four in a row, 1 month straight.
Well, no, no, not 1 month straight, because you sort of disappeared on us for a week.
That's all right. I was researching tech news.
You were up north.
Yeah, sunny. It was beautiful.
Was the weather warmer?
Oh, it was lovely.
No rain or anything? I can't even remember what it was like here, but I had a busy week.
Behind us.
I had a busy week. Otherwise, I was actually going to just do a show without you.
You traitor, how dare you?
I thought about doing that. So instead, I fiddled around with the logo and made an actual, like a little bit of a logo for the website.
Yeah.
So
if you haven't been to the website, go check it out.
Techwrap.net. That's where all the podcasts go. But we're also on iTunes. We're on player.fm. And there's another one.
I think so many ways to
Blaster.fm or something.
Oh, so, everywhere. So taking over the world.
There's many ways to find us. Oh, and on Twitter as well.
Yeah, at TechWrap.
At TechWrap Podcast.
TechWrap Podcast, yeah.
Because at TechWrap was taken.
Oh, was it? Who did that? Oh,
I don't know. Unfortunately, anyway.
Important.
There's been so much going on in technology and even some stuff that carried along from last week that was quite interesting to talk about. We'll cover some of that later. Ooh.
What's been going on?
So what's been going on this week? Well, I think a bit of fantastic news from Western Australia if they end up putting their proposed changes in. They're looking at a reform to the way the taxi industry works.
Oh,
and this all centres around Uber.
This is not Uber, is it?
Again, it is Uber.
Seems like every week there's a new Uber story popping up causing controversy somewhere.
There's so much Uber controversy because governments don't like the idea of them coming in with a new concept and just doing their thing.
Yeah, and bypassing all like the taxi regulations and laws and all that sort of thing.
And no government actually wants to change the regulations to suit. So they just think, well, taxi industry doesn't like it. We don't like it. We're just going to block it. But WA
consumer likes it, I think.
Yeah, yeah. The WA government has put in a green paper to fold in some concepts and what's currently like looking after the Western Australian taxi industry so that they can both have a level playing field and both do their thing and both be licensed, which I think is a good move.
It was always going to be the next logical step, I think.
It was going to be the next logical step, but most of the states in Eastern Australia weren't going to be the people who were going to implement
that's weird.
It
I was going
first.
To say, why is it WA and not like Victoria or New South Wales?
Well, Victoria, New South Wales, I don't know about Queensland, but South Australia have all got their own rules in and they essentially block Uber from doing their thing. Rather than try and find a way of making it work, they've just gone, no, we're not interested. In South Australia, there's a bit of an exception. They're allowed to have the Uber Black vehicles.
So you're telling me Uber isn't operating in Victoria? Or they are, but
it is,
not
but
illegal.
It's illegal. Same as in New South Wales, it's illegal. So the drivers can get fined for carrying passengers if...
How do you know who an Uber driver is, though? Because they're just like in their normal car. You'd have to be pretty unlucky to be pulled over.
Yeah, I'd say they'd have to be
who's this in the back seat?
Doing some really good monitoring to track down the person who is driving. But if they do
undercover agents using the Uber app, like your sting operations.
Well, it's plausible.
That'd be the only way, I think.
Some people have actually been fined. I can't remember whether it was New South Wales or Victoria.
Do you know what the fine is?
What sort of amount of money?
Yeah.
Not overly sure. It's in thousands, I think.
Yeah, but the thing is, if I recall correctly, Uber will pay your fines and legal fees. So, like, you as a person, I don't think you're out of pocket, but I don't know, you might have that on your record.
You've probably got that on your record, and that's not a nice thing to have on your record. So, you know, if the WA laws, if their improvement to the licensing environment of their plan actually works out, this could be very positive. So they're thinking more flexible, less prescriptive licensing.
Have you ever used Uber?
I haven't used Uber myself. I haven't had an opportunity to use Uber, but when I do, I will be.
Yeah.
Because I've used so many taxis in so many cities, especially I was over in Adelaide.
Can you, user, get in trouble or is it just the driver?
No, it's the drivers.
But you're using the app and...
You're using the service, but you're not the one carrying the passenger. So that's not you're just the passenger itself. So they're not worried about the passengers as such.
Yeah, you should definitely do it and then we can talk about how your Uber experience was.
Yeah, so I was over in Adelaide recently and, you know, there are are a few ways to get from the airport, but the most convenient way is taxis.
Mm.
And I had a really good taxi driver on the way in, but I didn't understand the fact that there's two different taxi providers in Adelaide with two different phone numbers and whatnot, and they use different networks and what have you. And so I ended up with the dodgy usual cab charge driver on the second trip, and it took him 10 minutes to get to me. And then we got to the airport within probably about 5 minutes of the window that I had to be able to get to the airport, making things very tight.
Cutting it close, yeah.
Little did I know in the end, I had more time up my sleeve in the end, and the plane wasn't fully booked either, which was another positive.
Yeah.
But you know, I didn't think it was a comfortable experience, and I didn't enjoy the taxi rides. Whereas Uber, you know, you've got the application, you can see drivers that are nearby. You can request one, and that driver will come straight to you.
Yeah, imagine if the taxi service had the app and the whole integrated app into a taxi service and doing very similar things to Uber. I think that's the biggest appeal. I don't think it's the fact that I don't think people care that it's just normal people driving cars and stuff. I think I just like the idea of being able to just pull up an app, see where drivers are, see how quick they're going to be to you,
yep.
automatically bill the charge without even having to use cash. It's just like all those areas of improvement. I think the taxi companies can take that, implement that, and then they'd actually, you know, why wouldn't you just use a normal taxi?
They would get a bit of an audience. You know, they could certainly do that and compete against Uber, and they would get a decent share.
And especially if now Uber have to come up into the standard of the taxi drivers.
Yeah. There'll be still some people out there that will prefer Uber over the normal taxi service, even if they implemented those
Hipsters.
Things, because... Because, you know,
I'm going to Uber and dink on this guy's bicycle, Uber bicycle, and sit on somebody's handlebars.
Anything's possible in the future.
Somewhere.
But it is an illegal activity, mind you. But yeah. You
dinking?
Know, yeah.
Okay, don't do it.
Yeah, it is an illegal activity. Well, you're not aware of that one.
Oh, no, everyone does it as kids.
I know, but you know.
Who does it as an adult?
If a copper drives past, you're done for.
He's not going to find a kid. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Dinking, wearing no helmet in the wrong side of the road.
Yep. Fine. Yeah. So hopefully these changes happen over in WA. It'll be fantastic to see. We've got to watch that one.
I was reading this thing about Uber. I saw it like a headline.
Mm.
You can almost call it a quick headline. Uber Canada was hit with a $400 million lawsuit.
Wow.
For creating an enormous marketplace for illegal transportation. Yeah, so that's happening in Canada. $400 million lawsuit.
That is
plus
quite...
with all that stuff that happened in France as well, I think they're being sued. So they're getting freaking sued all over the shop.
But,
so wonder they're going to have any money.
But they've made so much money. They've made so much money in many countries.
It's ridiculous.
And they're still going.
Yeah, like $500 million already in like potential legal fees and fines.
Why?
Obviously, if they're prosecuted.
Why have we got to fight the modern ideas?
Because
why can't they understand like
months of I don't know
like changing media landscapes. You know,
people can't let go. People can't change because so many people are making money off the old system, and then you know, to reinvent it, then they're forced into competition with the new system. Not to mention all the costs of going to the new system. You know, it's all that sort of stuff.
You just make yourself look like a big dick.
Sway of the world.
If you do that, that's the thing. That's the disappointing thing.
Uber. No doubt we'll be like hearing lots about Uber in the future.
We will.
Until they become standardized and normal, then just as bad as a taxi service. And then we're like, oh, that Uber driver was smelly and slow. And, you know, maybe. Maybe they'll be great.
And he never cleans his car, and he takes a long way to get around to my address.
The whole thing with the feedback, though. Giving bad feedback to the driver is a huge thing.
That's another thing.
If they get a negative rating, then they no longer become drivers. I think if you get a big enough of a negative score, you can no longer be an Uber driver, or people can see that and not get you and sort of thing. So, like, yeah, feedback per driver is so good because it keeps the standard high. Of the driver. Like the whole system of Uber, ignoring all the legal stuff that they're doing or not doing.
It's got many pros.
Forget all that for a side. Everything that they've done and sort of brought forward to the consumer is the way of the future.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Did you hear about the Amazon employee over in India who managed to do some wonderful theft?
What, did he steal like a whole warehouse worth of equipment, like a heist or something? No, I didn't think it did.
Not a whole warehouse. He worked in the shipping department. And he, you know, when you're working in these departments, you get an understanding of how all the systems work.
Yeah, in and out, this is so going there.
He decided to make a few orders of his own.
Mm-hmm. From Amazon. He placed an Amazon order.
Yeah, he was placing Amazon order to his addresses and he was packing his orders.
Ah. So he worked maybe slip in something else?
Yes, he worked out the weight system of everything that he was packing.
This guy's a modern day genius. Genius.
So that he could dispatch himself instead of what he ordered, larger ticket items, iPhones, iPads.
So he'd order, say, an alarm clock, $5 alarm clock.
Or pressure cooker and pack it with
and
a couple
swap
of
it
iPads.
Out for iPads. How did iPads, he get caught?
A camera.
People weren't getting their orders.
Watches.
Or something. So these orders are going to other people.
No, these were orders he was making for himself.
He ordered the small items, though, and then he'd
Well, not
out.
Small items. He ordered things of similar weights, but instead of putting the things that he originally ordered in.
Yeah, worth less amount. He put things worth more. So what happened to the, where's he getting the stuff from? Just stored in the warehouse.
Yeah.
That weren't going to anyone, and he swapped it out.
Yeah, he swapped them out. Okay. He swapped them out and put the higher-end items into his boxes.
How did he get caught?
Well, you know, someone cottoned on to his ideas and dobbed him into the police.
So somebody saw him or they found out?
They've
somehow
probably found out, like discovered through details.
They were checking stock levels of iPads.
Yeah, now you would have looked into a computer system, and given a company as big as Amazon, they would be tracking stock levels. They'd be tracking, you know, the shipments in and out, like checking where they're going and that. And if he was leaving a pattern, as you do when you put your own name on boxes.
Yeah, why did he use his own name? He should have been shipping to like his cousin or something, or some made up name.
Mm.
Like a PO box.
He got away with 17 grand's worth of stuff.
I thought you were
going to
say 17 million.
Oh, not
17 grand isn't that bad, is it? When you're thinking how much money Amazon makes.
It's still quite a bit, though.
Still stealing, but you know.
He was selling it on the black market.
I thought he would have got away with a bit more with that scheme. Wow.
Selling it on the black market, police tracked him down and he was done for after that. And he would no longer be an Amazon employee.
And I think that's the least of his worries.
And we wonder why Amazon is putting robotics into their warehouses.
Sooner we can get rid of people, the better.
They can't trust the humans working in the warehouse.
I can't. It'd be so good when we get the drones delivering the packages to our houses, hey?
Speaking of drones, there's been a few news items with drones. One of those, which was being the story I covered last week, and it all amounts to US regulators and, you know, fixing up privacy concerns that people have with drones.
Mm.
You've heard stories of like real estate agents doing flyovers and catching the beautiful looking bird in the block next door. Sunbaking and those sort of things.
So we're not talking about a Willy Wagtail. Mm. We're talking about a female human.
Yeah, female human.
Real estate
agents flying over doing, you know, vision
surveys
for,
or maybe
for
website
potential sales and whatnot. And
even can just not people, like just consumers, right? Just flying drones around. Like,
yeah,
see what
consumers,
my neighbor's up to.
Yeah, consumers just flying these things around and not having a care in the world.
It's hard not to, though, because like it's like, oh, I can fly this drone. It's got a camera on it. Let's go spy on people. Like it's not, I don't
Look
think you
one.
Mean it to be malicious. I'm sure like a small minority does, I guess, and deliberately seek it. But like, I don't know, just the whole exploring from a whole new angle and to have a control over an aircraft and stuff is really cool.
But,
I don't know about spying.
But you need to understand that you need to have some sort of constraints in what you can do.
How do you restrict airspace? Like, well, how do you say you're not allowed over this person's fence? Like, if we buy a house now, do we buy the airspace above it? Or is it government controlled? Or like, that sounds very complicated to regulate.
Well,
and how do you control it? Like, you just see a drone and, hey, that looks like it's over a fence. And how do you not go over a property, though, if you're flying a drone?
Well, I wouldn't go so much to that, but, you know, restrict some areas. Like, you wouldn't be able to fly over, say, pools or
but how do you know so you have to pre-plan your flight path of your drone?
Or avoid
this is sucking all the fun out of it already.
Or avoiding the places in which you could get into a situation. Like, when you find some places you aren't allowed to take photos, you know? people get a bit upset about people taking photos around kids and whatnot.
Google Glass.
Those sort of things, you know.
If you're flying in a public space, it's a free game.
Think about where you can actually do it without invading someone's privacy. Maybe, you know, destroying vision if you do get in that situation. And also restricting where it can fly based on, you know, there's an airport nearby. I can't fly it there because there's a chance there'll be a plane taking off at some point and I could be obstructing it. The case has been for that over in the US as well. The wildfires over in Virginia.
I saw that.
A drone blocked, or some drones blocked, firefighting equipment from actually flying over a section.
They were trying to put out a fire.
Near a freeway.
And there was a drone up there and they couldn't fly there because they didn't want to hit the drone, possibly damage the aircraft. And I also saw that they were fear of actually destroying someone else's drone and then being sued by the drone owner for destroying their property. So they didn't want to get into like a massive lawsuit about destroying properties of drones.
And that's just ridiculous.
I think it was a combination of those two things. And then they had to pull back the aircraft, costing, you know, thousands of dollars, whatever, and the fire to be kept on going.
And
so when that is an issue. Yeah, that's an issue.
It is an issue.
But like the privacy thing about accidentally flying over someone's house, I think is a bit more harder to regulate.
They're thinking about drafting some standards in the US, though. They've received about 50 submissions so far about the idea. I think, you know, a basic set of these are things you should consider before you fly is not a bad idea to suggest to someone. Think about these things before you do it, and think about these things before you put videos on YouTube as well. Common sense things that you should consider before you fly.
Like, there'll always be a small minority, though, that'll just grab one of these things and do whatever the hell they want.
It'll happen.
And, like, if you do it, nobody sees your drone, then you put up the vision, and it'd be very hard to track down who did it.
You'd be surprised what you can find with the internet.
If you're a savvy tech user.
Because the Civil Aviation Authority in Australia has been tracking down drone users based on their videos on YouTube. And I think a couple of people might not have got a fine, but they got warnings about their usage because they were flying them in areas where they weren't allowed to or shouldn't have been. Because we've got a basic set of rules from the Civil Aviation Authority about where you can fly, how high you can fly, and what you can do as a drone operator without being licensed.
Yeah. And for any sort of commercial purposes, you need a special license and all this paperwork and rigmarole and stuff. But I was with that firefighting thing. I was reading that because of that, in California, they're trying to pass a bill which will give sort of emergency services the legal prerogative to destroy or disable drones when necessary.
Wow.
So they're trying to pass a bill to say, hey, if there's a drone in this area and we need to get here with our stuff, we're going to
shoot down
your drone or disable it so we can get to it. So then there'll be the whole thing of like, you know, was it necessary? And then who knows? It's a tricky thing to do. But yeah, they're trying to, so because of that, they are trying to push something to do that.
That's like internet blocking.
They're like, let's send a jamming signal to the drones and it just like falls down to the thing. But it wouldn't be too hard to put into the drones like how in the Phantom 3s you can go off and fly it and if it goes out of range, it'll automatically send it back home to you. I don't think it would be too hard to implement something into the software. Accept a signal and then when it gets this signal, then it just sends it back home to you. Like I don't see that being a hard thing. That could be implemented into all sort of drones that have the GPS and stuff.
Yeah.
But then I guess you have the thing of just the
ones
drones
that don't
have that, and they're like those home-built ones with the, you know, octocopters and the stuff, well, those big
the
metal
$500
ones. Exactly. And you just send those up and you just hope to control them.
And if you lose track of it, you have to go and find it manually.
Like a jamming signal that like a mini EMP or something, I don't know. Or laser beams.
But then again, they could all accept something which told them to drop somewhere.
Yeah, you'd think so, It just disables it, falls out of the sky, I guess, and hopefully your drone doesn't
fall to bits.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah.
They're all the
I want a drone. I want to have a go.
I would love to have a drone. I've looked at them in the past and I've justified reasons why I can actually buy one.
Fun.
Like, for instance, aside from fun, I'd probably have to get a commercial license for it, but a great situation where you can fly them around towers to make sure your antenna setup is working perfectly.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things.
There's a couple of radio engineers around Australia who do that instead of climbing up the tower because, you know, climbing up the tower is a big job. You have to have a couple of people around. You have to have rigging gear and spend, like an hour climbing up.
So much fun, though.
And if all you're doing is just climbing up to have a look and see stuff's all right.
This bolt, yep, screwed in.
You can fly this drone around and around the tower for like half an hour and get all the view you need to see what condition the tower is in, and you haven't had to get up.
And what about drones without cameras that are just drones, and then we introduce some privacy thing, and the drone doesn't even have a camera, then you're still restricted?
People would still look at it as being a drone with a camera, because that's what most people are thinking these days.
Killing the fun.
It's killing the fun off a bit.
The whole Google Glass privacy thing, where people when that was kind of big, and they're like, it had no Google Glass here.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit intimidating to always feel like a camera is on you, even though it's not on you.
Yeah, it is a bit, but there are so many places these days that do have cameras because of all the people,
I know,
and people who do evil in the world.
Yeah, and then there's people have issues of like civilians having cameras on them, but they have no issue with, you know, all the cameras that are out in the world and every restaurant you go, every side of the street all have cameras watching you anyway. Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's only when it's like right in your face I think people have issue with it. But that's a funny little way to look at it.
On the other side, there's been some positives come out in the last couple of weeks with drones. And I thought I'd share one story with you, which I did share in my my tech talks. Last week, an historic first over in the US for licensing of drones. They actually, tying in with the Virginia fires, there was one rugged terrain area where they would usually bring medical supplies in via road, via a car. Takes 90 minutes. The roads are not great, and because the roads are not great and there isn't many of them, they got in a situation where there were so many people waiting for medical support in one particular area that they wouldn't be able to get a car in. So they got approval from the Federal Aviation Authority for a company to be able to do a drop using a drone. So they put the supplies on this 3D printer-printed custom holder underneath the drone and were able to fly from an airport to this medical center using GPS coordinates and drop some supplies in, which is a wonderful positive idea to use drones.
No privacy issues?
No privacy issues in that one, I don't think. And I've also seen another situation where it could be used, like your triple O, using it as a first responder. So there's a situation where this guy needs a defibrillator.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I couldn't say it for a sec.
I thought.
and I think I saw it from
for medical emergencies.
Overseas, yeah. So person needs a defibrillator and they can send ambulances after. But what they could do is if it's, you know, in a short radius, they could send a drone in first.
Or have like the electrodes attached to the drone and then the drone like lands on his chest and starts electrocuting.
Lands nearby.
And like some alien things, like these prongs come out and like land on him, attached to his chest.
And the person on the phone can press a button and
that's funny. Doot.
Something along those lines.
I want the Amazon deliveries to my house with drones.
Yeah, I don't know how that one's going along.
It's a good idea, but in practice, like you look at range, like how much battery does it have to make it? How much weight can it carry?
Yeah.
Not crashing people in their backyards with like a BB gun waiting for the Amazon drone to fly overhead. To
so see they, if can
they can
take
shoot
the item
it down. I think it's ripe with disaster.
It's not going
to. Like shooting it down to steal their packages. Like, what have we got today? What's the loot? You know what I mean?
It's
as
not
if
gonna
people
work
wouldn't
for delivery.
Do that in the US. Try and shoot down drones and steal people's packages.
Well, it would happen in
the
US.
It's a good idea, but
because they got real gun laws. So
even like you could get crossbow. Like what are those things with the rocks and you? What do they call those? I forget.
Oh,
you know those?
Yeah, yeah.
you make a stick. There's a wire, and you put a rubber band on it.
Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're thinking about.
Everyone
but
else
I can't
does,
think of the name.
I can't think of the name either. Tweet us the name.
I can't remember the name. Throwing stick?
No. Slingshot.
Slingshot. That's it. Hey, there you go.
Why did that take us so long? Man, a tech chat and we're talking about like wooden rubber band slingshots.
Ancient technology.
Good stuff.
So that's drones, There's been a lot of things with drones. It's amazing.
Much like this will be something that will continue to grow forever, I think.
Mm.
Smaller, faster, quicker, longer battery, used for more purposes. I want one.
I want one too.
So expensive.
But I can't afford one at the moment.
They'll become cheaper too as time goes on, I guess.
Well,
right, just, as the technology develops.
Just an example.
Unless there'll always be a baseline premium like smartphones. Yeah. Like we're never going to see them. Even though the tech's going to get better and everything's going to get cheaper for the manufacturer, we think we're always going to see a sort of similar price for a premium phone. Like $800, $900 or whatever.
Kogan's actually got some drones.
Oh, do they?
The DJI Phantom with GoPro mount.
The Phantom 3, I think, is the latest one.
Starts at $489.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a biggie.
I think that's the first one.
It's one of the first
that's
ones.
One,
but that's a big
three, and then there's 4K cameras on it, and it's about $2,000-$3,000, depending where. I think it's like $2,000.
Like this one. Yeah, here it
that's
is.
That's what I want, the Phantom 3.
Here it is.
That would be a lot
1950.
Of fun. Yeah, there we go. 4K image stabilization. Literally, like, I was watching the promo video for it, and he just grabs the drone, and he's on a bridge, and he just throws it off the bridge, and it automatically levels, and then just flies off, captures glorious shots. If it goes out of range, it'll automatically return back to you. One button, return to home, automatic landing. These things, like, fly themselves. And you can get like view monitors. So you can monitor, you know, you strap yourself in, you're like VR, virtual reality through the eyes
headset
of the drone.
Thing,
yeah, imagine that coupled with like Oculus Rift or those VR headsets. You just strap it on, then you're just like the drone pilot. And
It's amazing where it's gone.
It's just going to get better and better. And then we'll probably get restricted and we won't be able to fly it in our bedrooms.
DJI's slogan, the future of possible.
Oh, man.
There you go. That's drones.
Love drones. We like space. We've talked about space a little bit in the
past. I've talked about space,
What was it? The explosion of the SpaceX rocket that was going to
happen. Oh, yes.
We talked about that
previously. SpaceX. Did you hear what the explosion cause was?
Oh, do tell.
It was, they've got like a nitrogen bottle in it, and essentially Elon Musk actually come out in a press conference because people were really confused as to what had happened. So they mount the nitrogen bottles inside, you know, the area where all the sort of combustion stuff is done, and the brackets that they use to hold it couldn't withstand the pressure of the flight.
Don't they test these things?
They get them externally manufactured. Okay. So they believed the manufacturer as to their testing. Mm. And when they tested the gear after the flight, they realized they didn't conform to the standards.
I feel like SpaceX should have tested their own stuff after they got it, though. You know, like, good enough. I'm sure it'll work on the day.
And then, kaboom, it's gone. Yeah, so they're back to the drawing board with that one.
That's weird because SpaceX do most of their manufacturing of all their rocket stuff as in-house as they possibly can.
And this particular bit was external. Costs.
Yeah, well,
so
there you go.
That's the cause.
Yeah, well, wow. Now we know. Problem solved.
But we've been talking about other space things.
They'll be testing that in the future or making that or something. But yeah, we've had a few things happen in the past couple of weeks. We had the close-up images of Pluto, the flyby.
Yeah, and Australia got a part to play in it as well.
We have one up in Canberra, don't we? Mm-hmm. And at that time, we were lucky enough, for Canberra here in Australia, were the first people in the world to receive those images.
The better images,
in Canberra. Yeah, absolutely incredible. And then we also had the discovery of the Earth 2.0, they're calling it, or a similar planet.
Oh, yes, in recent days, the similar planet that they believe.
Similar Earth-like conditions, yeah. I think they call it the Kepler 452b.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what they called it. The inside the star's habitable zone.
The way the sun moves around it, you get 10 more days than a standard Earth year. And
yes, it's 60% larger than Earth.
And the gravity?
Oh, I don't know the gravity.
They said something like two times more gravity or something. Oh, I can't remember.
is it? See, 300? No, here it is. 385 days to orbit theirs. It's 20.
Oh, that's 20 more.
20 longer than us.
Yeah.
Roughly the same size and temperature, only 20% brighter. Kepler 452 is also 6 billion years old. It's 1.5 billion years older than our sun.
Wow.
And
someone wants
1,400 light years away.
And someone wants to explore this at some stage.
Oh, one day, yeah. I think this isn't like really the first one though. We've heard what are these exoplanets and similar ones that are similar to Earth, and there's I can't remember what they call it. It's like the Earth some index. They measure it like how close the planet is to Earth.
Oh, yeah, they plot it out, yeah.
Yeah, and there's like a huge record of like, I think over 1,000 or something of them, very similar. But it's pretty big news, I think, just to spark the interest of people back into space flight because it kind of got boring for a while, right? There was the moon landing and then nothing kind of happened for a while. And now we're looking at Pluto. And now everyone's kind of getting on board because you're sort of seeing it everywhere. And, you know, I think social media and stuff, everyone's like putting it out there. And it was like, oh, space, yeah, it's awesome. And then you got the SpaceX going to thing. And then you got that Neil deGrasse Tyson guy everywhere promoting space. And space is fun. I want to be an astrophysicist now.
And the fact that NASA isn't as heavily involved in space flight as much as they were because the government has decided that's too much money.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, like this New Horizons thing, which is the space probe that's beaming back the images of Pluto and stuff and the moon. They've done it on a budget of $700 million across 15 years.
That's a few million.
That's nothing, though. Like,
yeah, it's nothing much.
To put that into perspective, that's less than a tenth of the amount Microsoft wrote off after its takeover of Nokia. Apple could fund 15 New Horizon missions with just the profit from its last 3 months.
I'd believe that.
They could do 15 of these missions. AT&T in America, their proposed takeover of DirecTV is close to 70 times more expensive than the Pluto probe.
Wow.
And New Horizons mission. So, like, it's such a minuscule amount that of money that's going into NASA to do these missions. Like, so, it's crazy. Imagine, like, how much further we could explore the galaxy and the solar system if, you know, NASA or these private companies had more money.
So Tim Cook starts exploring space in the next few years.
Let's do Apple Space. Apple Space. You know, like, it's hard though. But I think sending a probe up is a lot different to sending a rocket and people out. But, like, let's get those probes out there.
Are they going to make
it? It takes so long and it is so much money and then, like, you don't find anything. It's kind of like, meh. So I think you kind of do need a government body to sort of, hey, let's do this.
Keep it in control.
Business people care more about what's happening on Earth and how much money they can make here on our planet, let alone another planet.
Business people worry about how much money they're spending on their projects. So.
Unless you're trying to mine an asteroid.
I'm lost for words.
There was like asteroid mining. Apparently there are like minerals and materials on asteroids that contain like titanium and platinum and all these like valuable like rare minerals that if we actually got there, I was reading like one that's flying sort of close, and by close I mean, you know, not close at all to Earth, but kind of relatively close in
close,
terms of
but I mean
astronomical
not close.
Units, you know what I mean? Like great distances that is containing by our value like $15 trillion worth of minerals on an asteroid. So
unbelievable.
I think they'd be more interested in figuring out how to mine asteroids than discovering life somewhere else or a different Earth-like planet.
That could be the next ground for both Apple and Samsung, considering how many phones they put out
every
year.
We should start a asteroid mining company. SpaceX would be closer to doing it, though. I don't know.
What would we call it?
Probe. The big probe. Probe me now. Space probe. Deep probing.
Mind probes.
Something with a probe.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's
space,
mad.
Earth. What if they're like, oh, yeah, it's like, imagine if we found life on that other planet. That'd be cool. See, that's the idea. I think it sparks everyone's imagination. It's like, what if there is life?
It sparks the imagination.
What if there is life? Why aren't they sending probes our way and discovering our Earth? Like, if we're finding all these exoplanets that are similar to Earth, where are the other people sending them and discovering ours? Like, that would have happened if they were even minutely advanced as us.
They do it in the movies.
Unless they already have, and they're, like, just trying to figure out how to get to us.
Maybe.
Because we probably couldn't get to them. I think we could send people to them.
Food for thought.
Food for thought.
But
would you move to Mars?
No, I'm not ready for that.
Moon base? Do you want to go to Mars?
As I said in another episode, I'm not ready for that.
We're going to send you and 20 of the world's most beautiful women to repopulate Mars. As if you wouldn't go. Well, you can have Netflix or beam your Netflix. You can have internet connection. You know, you can play games, watch movies and fornicate. and terraform. That doesn't sound like a bad deal. I think. And there'll be like training. You can go to the gym and there'd be supermodels.
There'd be a big line for that.
Yeah. So like, you don't want to do that? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying I want to explore this wonderful earth of ours before I die.
Boring. Waterfalls, rainforest. There's a tree there. Look, we're looking out the window now. Trees and grass, that's what it's like everywhere.
Yeah, there is trees.
Yeah, it's all the same. Wherever you go,
it's got a big hill up ahead of us.
Trees and grass. Well, it'll be interesting to see. We're continuing to get these images back of Pluto. I think it takes like something like 4.5 days.
Yeah, it takes a little
while. I was reading somewhere that the data connection was like 1 to 2 kilobits a second.
Well, the whole satellite technology is not so amazing, is it?
Kilobits, not even kilobytes, kilobits. And they're getting these HD photos over, you know, days and days.
Like when you
It's incredible, though, to think that they can transmit that over that distance. It's crazy.
Like when you used to be on the internet back in the 90s.
Dial up,
watching the picture render. It's a little bit like ham radio, actually. I haven't done a lot in ham radio, but I discovered over the last year or two that they can send faxes over radio waves. So they do it for the sake of...
Well, I guess, yeah.
They do it for the sake of we can do it, and also there's areas of the world where you can't get, you know, a normal internet connection or whatnot. So they do beam data over a HF frequency so you know, they can get into those hard to reach places, you could put it.
Did you see very similar to like what Google's trying to do with providing low income areas with internet connections.
So what's this story? Because I know they did a Google balloon at once.
Yeah, it was like they're trying to like set up a Google balloon network thing, and they're trying to get internet to remote areas and things like this. And then there's Google doing a big push towards getting internet to people that wouldn't have internet, to the point where they're offering free internet and connection service to like really low income families,
which
so they can
I like.
Get online. And you know, the government's on board and they're pushing for it and growing it. And so whether that's in the form of balloons or not.
Well, yeah, the balloon idea is great, but the practicality of it, the balloon is not going to last forever.
Connecting the world. It's like, maybe just give us a bit more money or some food instead.
Well, yeah, they're essential needs. I mean, internet is really, it's backstage compared to that. You know, you need food and drink and somewhere to live, like a roof over your head, more so than an internet connection. You know, you need fresh running water and power too before you need internet. But people consider internet as an essential service these days.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, and especially like, you know.
Some people get really upset if they don't have an internet.
Everything's
connection.
Becoming more and more online as well. Like, you know, you got to do your tax, any like medical benefits, insurance, you know, it's just a lot easier if people didn't have to do with paperwork.
People make phone calls over the internet.
It's the future technology, changing the world, building it, making it a better place.
Mm.
Which makes me think of like this other thing that I saw.
Yeah.
They're working on, they have this 3D printer.
Yeah.
A big 3D printer that is able to construct emergency housing in 30 minutes. Now, we're not talking about mansions.
30
We're not talking about, you know, 3-bedroom houses. We're talking about maybe just like a tent or a shelter. Say, you know, a hurricane came in, or there's like a tidal wave or a tsunami or something. It's raining, it's wet and stuff, and things have been destroyed, and they've got to set up like maybe a medical base, get in this printer, start constructing all these little houses that you can just put people in as shelters.
Yeah.
30 minutes. That in a 3D printer is crazy. Like,
now, I have heard the idea of constructing buildings before, but 30 minutes is a very quick turnaround. Is this several?
I wonder if it's all encased and then they just kind of scan it and build it up like maybe like a little hut or something, but still a shelter in 3D minutes. Just bring in the printer to a zone and just start constructing these shelters, put people in them.
Did they mention what construction technology they're using to mold the building?
No, I'm not too sure. I think this is the early days. But what about building like in slums and stuff?
Yeah.
You could build people instead of mud houses or like little, with wood and tin sheeting, you could build them up like a half decent structure. And
you can build
affordable.
It out of concrete, because there was one in China that were building actual like 2-bedroom houses using recycled concrete. So it was breaking it all down and then making it back into another paste. And
this is humans, not 3D printers.
Oh, breaking the concrete down, and then the 3D printer could use the broken down waste to remold a building, and they were building a building a 2-bedroom building in a couple of days.
I guess the materials will always be evolving and what they can do with the 3D printer, because that start was just, you know, that plastic resin stuff, and you make like an army man figurine or something.
About the size of your
miniature,
the palm of your hand.
Like a TARDIS or something. Oh, look at my 3D printer, I made a TARDIS. I know. Or I made a USB casing, like little tiny ass things. Now, you know, people are constructing houses.
Cars?
And guns and cars.
And
3D printers are cool.
The racing companies are constructing prototypes of parts so they can take them to manufacturers and get them built.
Imagine, even. Yeah. That could be, we should start a 3D printing company.
And then there's people who print chocolate.
What?
Build chocolate. Yeah, there is.
Edible?
No, yes.
Really?
Yes, genuine.
Oh, I
genuine.
Don't know if I trust it.
And
imagine the things you could create, though.
And my sister was telling me a story the other day as well, like nail printing using similar sort
like
of machine
like
technology.
Or like just the fake nails that you put on.
Building full prints on hands, you know, on the actual
nail.
So
what, do you put your hand in
there? You put your finger in it
and it
paints your nails.
Oh, this is like, they used to have people to do that.
Yes.
And now, man.
What are
all these people going to do when they're put out of jobs by a 3D printer?
Chinese.
What are builders going to do when they know we need a builder?
There'll be Chinese vending machines where you'll be able to go up and have your fingernails printed.
Yeah, just put it in the vending machine.
Instead of going to a shop.
And then while you're waiting for your chocolate to be printed, you can do your fingernails. My house is being built out the back.
And then grab
Let's see how it's doing with the drone flyover. It's crazy.
And grab a packet of hot chips as you walk past so you can, you know, stock up.
3D printers, yeah. We should get on board. We should get on board with 3D printers.
Officeworks has been getting on board with 3D printers
lately
in the cities.
The
industrial ones would be cool.
We could make,
I don't know.
Possibilities
where to begin.
Are endless.
It's endless, and technology is evolving so much.
Yeah, by the time you get your big printer, there'll be like a way better one in 6 months or a year.
Town building printer.
Yeah. City building printer.
Yes. They just load a big CAD plan into it and it just goes past and builds everything.
I guess, like, soon they're combined to the boxes. You know, they'll have robots running around just like printing stuff everywhere.
Well, as ridiculous as we try to make it sound, you know, road construction uses large, like, boom devices that are controlled by something to be able to pave. Like, I was watching when the local freeway was constructed, the paving machines that were putting concrete down, they were machines that ran on a plan. They set out a line and turn this thing on, and blokes stand on it, but it essentially rolls past and builds the concrete road. So it's not implausible.
Windows 10 is, I think, 10 days away from being released.
Windows 10 is
the final
just around the
done.
Corner.
You've been beta testing El Capitan, yes?
No, I've been beta testing iOS.
Oh, I see. 9. You didn't get on board El Capitan.
I didn't get on El Capitan.
Have you discovered any new things with the beta test, the iPhone beta test?
I made it to play up the other day.
Mm, what happened? A bug? Did you submit this?
I haven't submitted it just yet, but essentially what I did is I opened the home screen to go to some apps, and I managed, there used to be a double tap or something, which would drop the icons down.
Oh, yeah.
And as I show you right now, I dropped my icons to about half the screen, and I couldn't get them back.
So is this permanent now?
No.
You fixed it.
I just turned the phone
restarted
off and turned it back on again.
Restart.
But it got jammed.
Well, there you go. Well, hopefully you should submit that. Help the developers.
Yeah, it's certainly improved. They've put like two updates out since I've had the beta testing on my phone, and they've improved some of the sluggish issues that it was having by introducing new features. So they're working on it. The one thing that always gets people a bit annoyed when they do beta testing is the fact that some programs are unsupported. Oh, I've got one with my bank. My bank application does not work at all. It just freezes.
Yeah. So banks tend to be really slow with updating.
Have to log into internet banking to fix it. They know about it, but they're not prepared to do anything about it yet because it's
in
beta mode.
The next update might break it. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, the Windows 10, it's just around the corner. Those who have reserved their copy, as in the people who run Windows 7 and they got the little Windows icon saying,
pop up down the bottom.
Reserve it. They're going to roll it out slowly across the next couple of months to those people.
Months.
I'd say months.
Yeah, probably.
But, you know, it'll be available in retail copies in the store on launch day. And they are saying that it's the last packaged version of Windows that they're going to offer.
And then everything else will be done via updates. Does that mean they'll be free? Like, Windows, after you get Windows 10, you'll have free Windows forever? Or do you reckon they'll be like Windows 10 Service Pack 5 only $9.99 or something, like DLC server, DLC Windows. Like, does this, you know what I mean? Because normally you'd have a new Windows release and you'd charge like $150 for a new license or whatever. But if this is the final version, then they release everything else, software updates.
I don't think they're going to roll it out free forever, but they did commit to providing updates for Windows 10 for a longer period than they did for like XP in 2000.
That'd be interesting. I don't know. I don't even know if they figured it out yet, what they're going to do after it.
No.
They probably have something in the works, but like, yeah, how do you, do you have to do like a DLC, like a downloadable content update that you have to pay for, but it would have to be a really significant version change. And do they still call it Windows 10?
They're
10.1, 10.2, 10.3? They can't call it Windows 11 because Windows 10 is the final release.
They're changing names, I think.
Yeah. But I think we're getting ahead of ourselves, though. It's not even out yet.
And they're going from media to thumb drives for the last
Yeah, I saw
releases.
That. That was good because, like, whenever I had to reinstall Windows, I would never use a CD. I would just do it from a thumb drive, boot up from the USB.
I still use a DVD.
I don't even have a DVD player in my computer, like a DVD drive or a CD drive.
Well, I have one because I still find I need to.
And I haven't, I haven't installed anything on CD in years. Everything is just downloaded now.
Well, you're right.
It's gone the way of the floppy drive, Gettys.
You're right in.
One has CD drives
anymore. Yeah, you're right in that sense because, you know, I might download and install Windows on a DVD, but the rest of it is all download. I think the motherboard drivers are the only things that I usually do off a CD with that installation. And then from there on, you just go online
it's
and you download
too,
all the updates.
If you, like a USB 3.
And then there's websites like 9night.com. which allow you to package up all the common utilities that you use. Like, you know, I use Flash, so I'm going to have Flash for Google Chrome and Firefox, and I want to have Paint.net on there so I can edit things. VLC, you know, TeamViewer, those sort of things.
Yeah.
And you just make an installer, and then you open that, and it just does all the installation.
Everything.
So you just walk away, and then
yeah, nice. That's nice.
You come back, and it's all done.
Because normally you have to, you know, install it one by one by one by one.
Which is the old way of doing it.
Old way.
Or you'd pack up your own installer. Like, I used to make batch files that would do installation tasks.
Oh, you're a pro, aren't you?
I just hated doing that, though.
Yeah, it's a bit of a pain.
Absolutely hated it. So
the thing with Windows 10, if I get it, that means I have to. I don't like the upgrade thing. I'd like to do a format and a clean install.
Well, what you do with the new Windows, because I've got a Microsoft Surface tablet which runs Windows 8.
Did you get
8.
The pop-up saying upgrade or whatever, or a free upgrade? Or
I got it on my desktop machine. Not.
I wonder how that works with tablets. Are they rolling out a free update to tablets?
They are updating tablets and also phones, but it's a periodical update.
Yeah, that'll come later.
But my tablet, my Microsoft Surface Pro, is actually a fully blown computer, so it does run a full version of Windows. So I don't know whether I just missed the notification or they didn't give me one at all. But back to what I was talking about. They don't include install media by default anymore, but what they do is a lot like you know, your main manufacturers like HP and Dell and stuff, they go, you can make recovery media by doing this. So what you can do in Windows is you can go into a control panel option and create your media. So what they want you to do with this next Windows update, if you want to go from 7 to 8 and then do a reinstall, they want you to do the 7 to 8 upgrade and upgrade what you've got at the moment, then create install media and then do your refresh.
There you go. So I'll just wipe the whole thing and start fresh. That's the Tyrol.
Yeah. I guess you'll be able to download media when you've got a legal key or something.
Yeah,
but,
But
the media is available online in a lot of sources these days.
Countdown, the hype. Much hype.
Yeah.
Windows 10.
By next week, we'll be able to start talking about it because it'll be in. They're having launch parties in a few cities as
really?
Well.
Really? Like Melbourne and Sydney and in the US as well?
They're by invite only, though.
We'll host our own launch party right here.
Yeah, I put in for an invite and I didn't get one.
Oh, did you? No, sorry, you're not important enough.
I'm not important enough.
Where was that one for?
I think it was for Sydney.
Sydney. So what, you rock up, there's cake, champagne, there's a countdown.
Yeah, and they're all celebrating in a store.
Everyone's sitting with their computers. Download now, click.
Well, not so much that. You can go into the store and you can try Windows 10. They've got it running on machines, okay. So you can have a look at it all and
have a play.
Get a feel for it.
And, That's so funny.
And cheer and be like Mac followers.
Oh, yeah, it's like the Apple launch parties. No one cares about Microsoft launch parties. That's
funny. I guess they just all stand together and go, woo, new iPhone!
You can't, because, yeah, you think like the Apple people, like, you know, the cool people and stuff, and then you imagine that the Microsoft, you know, like, they can remember the Apple vs. PC ads.
Yeah.
That's all I'm envisioning, like, dudes wearing glasses and white shirts and just going, yay! Like, you know, the really geeky, nerdy people. And you wanted to go.
I did want to go.
It'd be good fun.
I wanted to be in the experience of being there and being one of the people that were involved in the launch. That's the only thing.
There'll never be another launch party again.
Maybe not.
Maybe not, maybe. You know, for that release later on. Mm. Hey, we've been talking about Facebook. Remember about whole talking with all the
face recognition?
All the music companies and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Talking with like Universal and all those people and we're thinking maybe they were trying to do exclusive deals from these people to release music videos to Facebook as the first place rather than YouTube. Let's release our music videos exclusively to Facebook. That's what they're trying to do. Further developments now with Facebook turns out slowly that they're trying to actually expand upon all their video content and things like this to try and eventually compete with YouTube. So now recently they're introducing new tools that'll give video publishers or people that post video content to Facebook even more customization options. So they're really trying to get on the level with YouTube. Before, you just upload to Facebook and you videos there. That's pretty much it. You can choose the title and what it is, and that's it. You can't really go back and edit. You can't do any of the meta tagging that you can in YouTube. So Facebook, that's what they're trying to do now, and they're currently like working on implementing that at the moment. Some of the big features are being able to have your own meta tags and stuff like that, the ability to hide a video or make it like a secret video, which is very similar to the YouTube's, the privacy, where you unlist it, an unlisted video, people with the link can access it. So that's another tool they're implementing into Facebook.
Oh.
They're also doing across how to manage your distribution, where you can sort of make changes to all your videos, have all your videos in one place so you can view all your videos.
Which is so Facebook unlike.
I know.
They don't have that in there at the moment.
I remember, you wouldn't, not even like 5 years ago, you wouldn't even be able to even find, you'd find a link to YouTube or something like that. So I think they don't want people linking to YouTube or embedding YouTube clips in Facebook. They want it integrated into Facebook, yeah. And rolling out these tools are a big start of that. And so, yeah, they're looking to, is Facebook used to be about, hey, let's connect with friends and see what they're up to and have a chat. Now it's all about media consumption. It's not so much about people anymore, is it?
Yeah.
It's more about content now, and it's changing a lot. I don't know how I feel about this. And are people going to come to Facebook as the new YouTube? Like, are we going, have you seen that on? I guess we kind of do now, because Facebook now is this littered with feeds of people linking videos and stuff. And you see a lot of stuff on Facebook that way.
Yep.
But it's not quite YouTube. And I don't think, how do you even compete with YouTube and still try to keep that social integration of friends and the closeness of friends without turning it into like a YouTube thing?
And they've already been integrating like the ability to be, Facebook to be a news source. Like they've been testing with news outlets, the idea of them being the first place to publish.
What are they rather trying than, to do? Like exclusive news stories.
Yes, they're trying to monopolize the market. So instead of you jumping on a news site or you jumping on YouTube.
They're trying to be everything.
You go to Facebook.
CNN.com, YouTube.com. They're trying to be a social media hub for just friends connecting with
messaging
each other.
Messaging system.
Like MySpace, messaging, text messaging, video calling, conferencing, businesses, pages, advertising. It's insane. They're just like, they're not stopping, always growing. But like, is this a good thing? It's so far away from what it originally was.
Yeah. And
now,
and where
it's just going to get further away.
And where do you draw the line in terms of being able to make money and, provide services?
Yeah. And even like, YouTube, you can be a part of the AdSense and you get money from YouTube for your views and stuff. Will Facebook implement a similar system? But what's the incentive for content creators to publish to Facebook exclusively if they're not going to get some advertising money back from it. So I guess then they'll have to look at some sort of system where they can pay people for per views sort of thing.
I kind of feel that that's not going to happen with Facebook, given the way
I think
that
it will, because if they're trying to be like Facebook, and if they want, people aren't going to publish their content on Facebook only when they could publish it on YouTube. I guess you could publish it to both for the exposure, but then you'd want to link to your YouTube account so you get more views and more money.
And Facebook wouldn't like you doing that.
Yes, exactly. So I think the only way for them to push these, if they are going to further expand upon these tools, this might be just like a little tweak. They might be like, oh, let's just make people make it easier for people to, like a quality of life improvement is what I was trying to search for there, to help people do it. They might not go the full way, but like it kind of seems like they are, especially if they're trying to release exclusive content and stuff. Maybe they'll only deal with bigger business, but that'll be interesting to see, and to see if it does pick off. Because we know someone that posted a video to Facebook and they got like 3 million views. I'm not going to say what it is because I think it's a silly video. and yeah, they probably got nothing from it.
Yeah, they wouldn't have got anything from it.
Where, you know, so
you get something from YouTube.
Because you get that many views and you're like, oh, man, I wish I somehow made some money from that. Like, it's no longer about, oh, yeah, 3 million views, I'm so proud of it. It's like, how do you make money?
It's a popular video, but I didn't make any money out of it. I did is made attention, and now everybody's forgotten about me because it's over. And it wasn't a very...
Imagine if they made, like, you know, even if you made, like, 100 bucks for 3 million views. That's the 100 bucks you would normally have.
Yeah.
Facebook have the money. They can fund 50 billion expeditions to Pluto.
Bit like flybys, you know? You swipe or scan that card all the time and you kind of think, well, what am I doing this for? But then you get enough points to have $30 to spend something in the store and, well, you know, I didn't do much to get that.
Yeah.
Cool.
And we'll see Facebook streaming.
Facebook stream. Well, they're already on the streaming path, haven't they?
What with?
And Google was on the streaming path as well. Google went and did YouTube Live, so you can do live streaming because they were feeling threatened by people like live stream.
Yeah, and then they're also now expanding out to like YouTube Gaming or something where you can live stream gaming to compete with Twitch TV.
Oh, yes.
So that'll be rolling out in the coming months. I think in the summer, the US summer, they want to roll that out. So that's a natural progression, I think. And then, yeah, well, we see Facebook do, you know, like Twitter does Periscope, where we can just do the Periscope stream. I don't see it being too far-fetched to go onto somebody's Facebook page and just do a live broadcast straight to the Facebook page. I'm sure the infrastructure's there.
It's
growing now with all this video implementation they're doing. So I think we'll eventually see probably live streaming to Facebook. And, like, if we've thought about it here at the TechWrap podcast, I'm sure somebody in the Facebook offices has had the very same idea. So it's probably kicking about. You know, if you have an idea, it's probably safe to say someone else has had it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say, given a lot of my ideas
have been stolen
and not always
robbed
unique
from you. Yeah, so I guess time will tell, I guess.
Yeah.
Soon Facebook won't even be about friends. You're scrolling through all the content, you won't even be able to find someone that you know to find about what they had for breakfast, because that's crucial information. Like, oh, I want to know what Getty's had on for breakfast on Sunday. And then I'll be scrolling through all these exclusive video releases, live streams, news stories, you know, YouTube-type videos, and then I'll finally get to freaking someone I knew.
I can't find Will's post about bacon.
Yeah, like tagging people in photos, media, and you can, and the whole thing, you can hide everyone's feeds and stuff, so I'm just going to hide everyone that I know so I only see the
businesses,
and the Facebook videos and stuff. Yeah, I don't know, man. They're trying to do two. One, it releases as like a separate service, I guess, because you got everyone there. Keep them under
that's
one roof.
The idea. Yeah. That's the idea.
Ah, Facebook.
We got a bit of time for some quick head.
Oh, yeah, because sometimes, Geddes, you know, we have the big stories and things we can talk about throughout the week and go on and on about. But sometimes there are other things where the whole story is in the headline and it is what it is and that's all there is. And if you're interested, you can go and do further research yourself.
Mm.
But the headline itself is just an interesting thing. And we call it quick head.
Lines.
Quick headlines.
Quick headlines.
Yes. We normally have a jingle, but we'll work on that.
Yeah, well, we didn't really have a jingle.
I thought it was good.
That was a homebrew sort of thing.
That was amazing. Do you want to give us some quick head first?
So, there's one for Android. Google removes the porn clicker malware from the Play Store, which was infecting 50
applications. Oh, you had this all over your phone, didn't you?
I'm on iOS, so...
Nah, that was me.
So there was 50 apps that contained a malware component which clicks on ads on pornographic websites.
Oh, wait, so you have to visit the website and then it clicks
visiting a website where this content could show up, and this thing will automatically launch that website, like click through to it.
Oh.
So they've removed them from their Play Store. How they got to the Play Store in the first instance, I don't understand, because like iOS, they have more moderation on their actual software being approved before it gets to the
Google store. Google are a lot more lax with that. That you can kind of get away with uploading anything that they remove the responsibility from themselves, and it's more on the people. And then if it does get a complaint, then they'll take it down. So yeah, iOS is a lot more stringent with, you know, almost has to be pre-approved, I think.
Yeah, it does.
People have to look at it, it has to get approved, and then it gets on the store, where Google, I think you can just get your stuff up there pretty quickly without any sort of pre-authorization.
While that process for iOS is annoying, It
takes longer and updates are slower.
It makes it safer for the people who don't know what they're doing. So they download an app and go, oh, you know.
I mean, people should know what they're doing at this point. You know, we've had phones for long enough. Get savvy, people.
There's some car makers rushing to add wireless features to their vehicles. You know, all new software, you know, CarPlay, Android in the car and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And some of the manufacturers are leaving themselves exposed to hackers.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because they haven't considered these things when they're in the rush to make it. They want all these features that people have got on their phones and they got on their
car and shut down their car.
Well, that happened recently. It was in a demo in China where they stopped a car going at 100 kilometres an hour.
It's so good. That's like you'd only see that in movies previously, and now it's
It's happening in reality.
A little bit. Imagine that drones, like the Amazon drones, living in hacking into the drone, make it land on your front door. Yeah, that's crazy.
There was also a major outage in recent days across New South and Victoria for Optus, affecting a vast majority of its mobile customers.
I may or may not be with Optus.
You may or may not be. Did we have troubles in this area?
I didn't notice anything.
That's fortunate. That's fortunate. Usually when these troubles happen, they really affect
Optus if they sponsor the podcast.
And one more. Google has decided they'll, you know, conduct a tirade against people trolling patents.
Yeah, no, I saw this as well. I think this is a good thing.
So, you know,
patent trolls, where they would just patent everything in hopes that someone else will do it. Even though they have no intention of developing the idea themselves or no intent to do anything. The sole purpose of them registering this patent
is so they
can sue someone else who actually has a legitimate good idea and stop them from doing it. Or if they want to do it, they have to pay the trolls thousands of dollars to release the patent or whatever. And that's what patent trolls do. That's really good. Google giving out free patents to startups and stuff like that and small businesses. Yeah, it's really good. So hopefully a lot of people sort of get on board and take Google up on this offer.
It's a fantastic idea, and that's a part of the quick
headlines. It's a big problem in the US, patent trolls. Like you had that, wasn't like the Candy Crush, something with that?
There's been stuff with various mobile phones as well.
Yeah, lots of
people just owning patents, and they might have tried to do something, but they gave up. And then some other big company comes along and does a similar idea, and they go, "Oh, I stole my idea," and try and sue them. And it's like, well, you're not going to get any money, dickhead. You shouldn't. You didn't get there.
Okay.
You've only got a patent. No one cares. Go away.
Classic. So my quick headlines are: we used a couple of mine throughout the podcast because they were relevant to what we were talking about. Yeah. I was going to say about the Uber thing, that Uber Canada was hit with $400 million lawsuit for creating enormous marketplace for illegal transportation. Good on you, Uber. The 3D printer one also, the 3D printer that can construct emergency housing in 30 minutes. Very cool.
It is.
This was another one. Virtual human therapists.
Virtual human therapists.
So they're not, you know, real human. There's virtual therapist or virtual human therapists giving people therapy is the thing. They've achieved astounding results with human patients. So there's actually a lot of positive feedback coming from therapy sessions with virtual
human therapists. Software.
So it might be like, software or pre-recorded therapy sessions and helping people, which I think is cool. So you could log on and get some therapy without needing to book a therapist. And I think it works because it's less intimidating. Mm-hmm. You're not feeling like you're telling a real person all your secrets and them secretly judging you.
Unless so the organization starts logging data.
Listening in, yeah, logging data. But I think like that's cool because imagine, you know, a lot of people can have various conditions or like, depression is a really big thing as well. Imagine just being able to log on and get some help. Very cool. And the positive results are a good step forward. This is another one I saw. Scientists develop thinner and improved invisibility cloaking device.
Invisibility cloaking? Are we getting there already?
We've always kind of had cloaking and invisibility in different forms, whether it cameras be, you know, showing all, taking in all angles and stuff and then displaying that image in front of it so it looks like it's like not real invisibility, but it's like, and then the like the mirrors reflecting everything and the stealth technology. But yeah, they're working. Scientists developed thinner and improved invisible cloaking device. Look it up if you're interested in it.
That's amazing.
And then I saw another thing. It was, have you heard about the Karma? I think it's called Karma Box or something like that. It's like a Wi-Fi portable hotspot.
I haven't seen this one.
And it's basically like a Wi-Fi portable hotspot for your phone. Like it's like out now, you can get it. But the cool thing about that was if you set up you pay a flat fee for data.
Yeah.
There's no monthly fee or whatever. No. You pay for what you use. So you set up a wireless hotspot. You can connect your phone to it. This is the thing though, and this is why it's called Karma. It's an open network that anyone in the area can also connect to.
Interesting.
And then if they connect to your network and sign up and make an account, you get quota added to your account for free. So you might get 100 megabytes of data added to your account. So it actually encourages people to set up these hotspots everywhere.
In
so
areas where
they
people
hopefully
will.
Get free data and don't have to pay for it. But in turn, we're getting more Wi-Fi everywhere. So it's currently in the US and I think it's on the Sprint network at the moment, and they're releasing like an LTE version and stuff. But like, it's not so much about the device that I find intriguing because, you know, you can get portable hotspots anywhere.
You can set
your own phone as a portable hotspot.
I've got one.
Yeah. But I like the Karma idea of other people. If you can get someone else to connect to your network, then you get data from it. Then in turn, you know, you pass it on.
Mm.
I like that idea.
Telstra like that? Considering they've just started this Telstra Air thing.
I'm seeing those everywhere, actually, more than I thought. Like, when I was on my travels, I actually reached my data limit on my phone because it's a measly 1.5 gigabytes.
How do you survive these days?
I'm looking out for a new plan. That's beside the point. So I turned off my data because I went over my limit, and then I was just surviving by connecting to open hotspots at cafes and stuff and coffee shops and McDonald's. But I'd be, like, on the bus or something and I'd be like, oh, I wish I could browse Reddit now or something like that. And I'll browze some news feeds. And yeah, I'd try to find some new Wi-Fi hotspots. Mm. And I'd see the Telstra Air thing nearly everywhere I went. And I was like, how is this possible?
Were they phone boxes or were
possibly, they actually... Yeah, like I was in the city and like you would need to be in like a dense city. And I imagine for the Karma thing to work as well, you'd want to be in a populated city.
It wouldn't work so good
in like a regional town. No one's going to connect to your thing.
No,
maybe everyone will connect to it, but then you won't get it in return from someone else. But yeah, I was seeing them everywhere. That's like really cool. I don't like it though because you have to be a Telstra customer.
Yeah, that's the downer of it. But they're apparently working on a model where you can pay into it as well.
Yeah, but make it free.
Why don't they make it ad supported?
Make it free.
Show us some ads. We can put up with, you know, a 15-second ad popping up.
Automatically load to the Telstra homepage. Maybe create like a free Telstra account, and you know you're going to put your email in. They send you a newsletter.
And do like they did during the trials. You can use it for half an hour and then you've got to reconnect.
Even, limited
there
things
you go.
So people can't, and then you can't download massive amounts or have like a free account where there's a data limit across.
Yeah.
You have maybe like something measly, like 100 meg or something, just so you can browse some news or something like that. I think there's a lot better ways they could do it. But I am impressed with the coverage. Hopefully they'll expand it out.
Yeah. I think we're going to give it time.
Yeah. Well, those were the quick headlines of the week. Geddes, that was quick headlines. Well, yeah.
With a mic tap.
We really got to...
You had a mic tap too.
Yeah. We really got to work on that a little. we'll work on a jingle. Well, there it is. Tech Wrap episode 4.
Is it 4? Yeah, it is 4.
Yes.
Yeah. Head along to techwrap.net if you haven't been to the website before, or tweet us at techwrappodcast.
Yeah. You can follow us as well, not just tweet us.
Yeah, follow us too. We'd love some followers. We've got a few, but, you know, always do with more followers. So that one's in the bag. Thank you very much, Will.
Thank you,
It's always
Trent.
Good talking tech with you.
Yeah. I'll see you next week.